The book of Psalms for the first 1500 years of the church was the primary hymnal. Martin Luther wrote after he began the Protestant Reformation about 1526, hymn entitled A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And it became a very popular hymn, except with some Baptists. And their statement was that who could write a better hymn than David? You know? And that's kind of the way I think we ought to be about our church music. W.A. Criswell said on one occasion, and I can imagine he was having some problems with music. He said when God kicked Satan out of heaven, he landed in the choir loft. And he didn't elaborate anything at all. He just made that observation one Sunday in his message, and I don't think anyone ever knew exactly what he meant by it. But I think I know. But anyway, I appreciate this special so very, very much. Well, this seems like the Sunday for Psalms, and that's good. Psalm 117, one of the briefest psalms in the collection. Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. How many of you have ever served on a jury? Let's see your hands, please. Okay, I won't ask how many have ever been defendants, but it's an awesome thing to see a court of law and to see the procedures that take place in our land, which are ancient in many ways. And one of them, of course, is the swearing in of the witnesses. And they lay their hands upon a book, and in Arkansas still, the Bible, and they swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Why is that important? Why is it important to tell the truth? Why not ask them, just tell us what happened? Or tell us how you feel about this. Do you think these people are guilty or innocent? What did you see? Or what did you hear talked around the streets? What did you overhear some people saying? And are you sure that you saw this person because it's important for us to know what happened? We can't be that casual about determining whether a person should spend years in prison or perhaps even have their life taken. When it comes to matters that have to do with life and death, and life after death, by the way, we ought to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I sometimes think it would be a good thing if the church would designate a clerk other than just someone to take a record of our proceedings in business meeting, but someone to actually come and stand here, and when I arise to preach, they would say, Brother Penn, put your hand on the Bible, and they'd swear me in before I started my message. I sometimes think that would be a good idea, and I think that it would be a good idea sometimes when I hear some things that I hear because it's never right to try to impress people with things that are not true for reasons other than that which is noble and good. Praise the Lord, all you nations, not just Israel, but all the nations of the world. Praise Him, all you people, every person in that nation. Why? Because of His merciful kindness is great to usward. His merciful kindness. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise you the Lord. Why? Because He's merciful and because the truth of the Lord endures forever. You can always depend on truth. I hear people say, well, the truth hurts. And I do not deny that for a minute. But it also heals. For every wound the truth makes upon our hearts and souls and our conscience, for every wound the sword of the Lord makes, there's also the truth that will heal it and forgive it and be merciful unto it. In other words, God doesn't simply go around announcing doom. He also pronounces and announces there is a remedy for our troubles and for our sins and for our problems. And there is an eternal home for God's people. In fact, the most precious thing that God has ever had, God sent Him to this earth to tell the truth. I know we repeat what Jesus said when He stated, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." But Jesus appeared before a judge on an occasion just before His crucifixion. And there was a dialogue between Jesus and His judge, rather brief but certainly interesting. And Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Thou sayest that I am a king," or "you said those words." But here's what Jesus said in answer to the question, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." And notice what Jesus said. The reason that I was born was to tell the truth. And the cause that I came to represent is the truth. And I bear witness. And the word is martyr. That is, what I'm telling you, I'm willing to give my life for because it is the truth. So Jesus was born to tell the truth. His cause in this world was to preach the truth. And He died for the truth. That's quite a summation of a man's existence on this world, isn't it? What I was born to do. I was born to tell the truth and to... I had a cause. There are many causes in the world, and many of them are not to tell the truth. And Jesus said, "I believe what I'm telling you is the truth, and I believe it so deeply I'll die for it." And He did. But He also, to everyone that is of the truth, heareth my voice. In other words, there are people who love the truth. There are people who are listening to hear the truth. There are people who are anxious to hear the truth. And Jesus says, these are the people who hear my voice. Because truth loves truth. Truth attracts truth. Truth is sustained by truth. Truth is. But Pilate, being of a different frame of mind about the truth, and instead of believing that Jesus was a truthful person who stood before him, whether in skepticism or in interest, he asked the question, what is truth? Obviously, he was not of the truth, or he would have heard Jesus speak the truth. There would have been a kinship. But there seemed to be an antagonistic relationship that almost developed on sight, or perhaps on reputation. You telling me the truth? You represent the truth? You're here because you've been accused of claiming to be a king, and we don't allow that to happen in the Roman Empire. And the Jews have said you are a blasphemer, and some have even said you claimed you were God. And you're standing before me telling me that you're here, that you were even born for the purpose of teaching people the truth, that it's the cause that you're dying for. How silly can you get? Mr. Jesus, let me tell you what's the truth. You see this crown on my head? That's the truth. That's the truth. Truth is power. And I've got it. And you don't have it. You're my subject and I'm your king. And you tell me that you know the truth. And maybe you're even hinting that I do not know the truth. And you're saying that if I really knew the truth, I would welcome you because that's why you were born and that's your cause. And you're willing to die for it. I don't know how to take that. Sometimes it's very difficult to define the truth. I'll give it a try this morning. According to what I know and what I've studied in the translation and interpretation of the word here, truth, it means the revealed reality lying at the basis of and agreeing with an appearance. It is the manifested, veritable essence of a matter, hence the reality appertaining to an appearance or manifestation. Now, that's what my mother used to ask me when she thought I wasn't telling the truth. Son, is this revealed reality that lies at the basis of and agrees with what I think you did? No. She said, are you lying to me? Is that the truth? Because I know what she meant. She didn't have to give me a definition of truth. I think it was in my heart, my head, and my conscience. But I think what I would like for all of us to come to a conclusion about this morning is that of all the things that are good and righteous in this world, whether it's a marriage, or whether it's a business, or whether it's a church, whether it's a home, whether it's a nation, that without the truth, they're on shaky ground. God Himself is truth. We get the idea, and it is an absolutely truthful idea, And we quote it a lot because it is a good statement to quote. It is a fact. It is a truth of its own self, and that is, God is love. What a reassuring and what a comforting truth. God is love. But have you thought of the fact that God is truth? God is truth. It is a characteristic of God. It is an appearance or manifestation of God's love as He sent Jesus Christ. And God is truth. It is a part of who He is. That's what Jesus meant when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. I think there's some very important statements there that help us to understand the fact that God isn't just a teller of truth, but God is truth. God isn't just one who manifests love. God isn't some creature who simply loves us, but God is love. God is love. That's a part of His character, of His nature, of His being. Deuteronomy 32, verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine or teaching shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. Now, why would God speak those words to a nation? Well, He spoke it literally about a nation. And He said, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Their spot is not the spot of His children. You know what it means? It means that their nature is of such a character that doesn't bear the image of God. You know. They are perverse and a crooked generation. That's what they became, because they strayed from the truth. Jesus is God's physical form of truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When you saw Jesus, you saw grace. When you saw Jesus, you saw love. When you saw Jesus, you saw the truth. Sources of truth, as this tells us, has come down from God. And we know that the Bible is a source of truth because it is the truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, sanctify them, and this is His prayer, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us a book of truth? Do you imagine perhaps that's why we are to lay our hand upon it and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because our hand is upon the book of truth. and we swear it in the name of Him who is truth. And there's another source of truth that perhaps we're not really acquainted with, or at least we're not impressed with it. And that is, the true church of the living God is a source of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, that is the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The ground here doesn't simply mean the earth as a figure of speech upon which the church is built, that is, but it means that its foundation is the truth. And the pillars that hold up the roof, they are the truth. Is that what a church is supposed to be? A truth-telling institution? God gave us this book so we would know the truth. God gave us the commission so we would preach the truth. Then why is it that it is not the obvious, consuming passion of our lives, and when we are together most especially? But I don't find that to be true in many instances. We, like the nation of Israel, have drifted, as the book of Hebrews warns us, from the truth. Many times churches have turned away from the truth because the truth is not effective. That is at least what they tell me. In essence, they're saying the truth won't work. And you know they're right. It won't work. It won't work to accomplish what they want to accomplish. But I will tell you, the truth will accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And you see, what many churches seem to be wanting today is not, as I divide the Word of God, the book of truth, it's not what I believe God wants in us. I think God wants us to start in the heart. I think God wants us to deal with the soul. I think God wants to deal with who we are and what we do in every instance of our gathering together, that the truth is the basis, or at least one of the bases, of our love for one another. Because John talks about the fact that we fellowship together as we know and love the truth. God has placed, as I understand the truth, no limitations upon the truth, because the truth is eternal. It is eternal as God Himself. And that's what Psalm 117 stated. Praise Him. Why? Because the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. I don't think I own a thing that's going to last forever. Do you? What about your new car? It's going to last forever, right? What about your new clothing? It will last forever. Is there anything that we really have that we know for sure that lasts forever? Betty and I pledged to love one another and to care for one another and be faithful to one another until death. Not forever. Because our relationship as a husband and wife will not last forever. Oh, Brother Penn, you and Betty will live in heaven. You'll have a home up there. And yeah, and I'll have to mow the yard. No, I don't. Thank you. I don't want it. Okay. She don't want to go in there and wash the dishes and iron my clothes and stuff either. It's a different situation, folk. Thank God for it. Now, truth is not limited to one race of people. Sometimes I get the idea that people think that the Jews have the truth. Well, God did give the Jews the truth, but he didn't give them the truth to keep it. Abraham would be the father of the faithful, but in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed. Truth is not limited to one nation. I know God entrusted the truth to the nation of Israel, and it speaks of Moses and all the prophets. But they were to teach other nations. Other nations were to flow into the realm of the nation of Israel, and they were to, by truth and righteousness, demonstrate the true and living God to the rest of the world. The truth has no culture. You know, we think about certain cultures where Christianity can flourish and grow and it can become mighty and it can become the very sustenance for these people of a certain culture. There is no culture, Middle Eastern or Western, where God cannot go and where truth cannot prevail. The truth has no generation. Sometimes people think we're the only generation that has ever known the truth, and when we die, the truth will die with us. Let me tell you something. Truth did not die with Adam and Eve, nor Abraham or Isaac or any of the Old Testament prophets. God's truth is forever. If you learn Bible now, you'll know it forever. And you might even forget the scores of certain sports figures, but you'll never forget God and His Word. Truth is not going to die with us. But it is our obligation to teach the truth and preach the truth. Truth has no language. That is, not one single language. I know that the Old Testament was given in Hebrew, the New Testament Greek, some Chaldee phrases in the Old Testament, but it was translated into Latin. It was translated into English. And these translations express the principles of truth. And every nation and every tongue must have the Word of God in its own language so that it can learn the principles of truth and thereby know God. You say, we need to go to all the nations and tell them of God's love. That's not enough. We need to go into all the nations and tell them all the truth. Not just God is love, because God is love, but God is also truth. Truth never grows old. It has no age limit. It may be fulfilled, but it never becomes anything but truth. I've heard people say, well, that's just an old truth. An old truth. Did it get gray-haired? Did its power diminish? Does it now stagger and look upon itself as near the grave? What happened to the blood of Jesus Christ? Is that a truth that is now no longer relevant to our culture and our society? Have we become such good people, such wonderful people, such practitioners of democracy, so interested in health and environment? Are these our gospel now? Or is it the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the truth? That is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. The truth is a characteristic of God. It is his nature. It is why he sent Jesus Christ. To this purpose was I born. For this cause came I into the world. To this end, that is the end of my physical life. Is that how we feel about the truth, or do we feel like it can be bent and twisted and shaped? If you put one kink in the truth of God, it is not the truth. If you add one thing to the truth of God, it is not the truth of God. And every time we add something to make the truth of God more pleasant to the human ear, more welcoming to the human conscience, more effective in performing what we desire, we just add that much weight to it, so that after a while the truth of God no longer soars like the eagle, but adding this and adding that, it becomes encumbered, and even the wings of truth can no longer fly. No longer can it sustain itself in that majestic place, but it falls to the ground and is trodden under the feet of men. Let truth be free. Let truth be truth. Exalt in the truth that is forever. Exalt in the God of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall enslave you, right? And make you something you don't want to be. Why, if you believe the truth, you might believe in God. And what a terrible thing to do. If you know the truth, it might make you believe in Christ. And then you'd have to go to church and give you money. I don't want that kind of slavery. I want to be free from God and truth to do the things that I want to do, whether they be falsehoods or truths, or half-truths, or quarter-truths. Let me walk in my own ways. And you do not see the chains. That are binding you to something. That is worse than death itself. Let truth be truth. Let it shine in all of its glory. Let it lift us up, and if need be, let it take us down. Let it chastise us, and let it bless us. Let it abound in our hearts and souls and life, and let it be that upon which justice makes its stand. Because without truth, there is no justice. Let's stand and sing, please.